Father, I just truly do thank you for all that came out to sit in your presence tonight. I thank you for the abundance of your glory and of your peace. And Father, I ask that you continue to minister to your people as the night goes on. I would like every need to be met. And Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit, your Son Jesus, the angelic host. Father God, keep teaching us to draw ever closer to you in your presence. Help us to understand, Father, exactly what you're calling us forth to do. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an article today where a man said it was a lady. She was saying that 10 years ago, God started talking to us about his glory. And then it was going to fall. And she said, it is going to fall. But are there people ready for it? And are they expecting it? So see, there's some places where the glory hasn't fallen yet because the people weren't ready to receive it. And there's other places where the glory fell and some received and some didn't. So we just have to keep going on our individual walks with God. Not worrying who received it and who didn't receive it, but just keep walking with him each and every day and let him do what he wants to do. All right. God was dictated this message for tonight, and I called it the higher realm of glory. God said, this is a new day and a new dawning in each of your lives. I want you to look what you're reading. I am bringing you to the heights of glory in my pinnacle, and you shall excel in all that I have spoken over your lives. And I thought that was a funny statement. I am bringing you to the heights of glory in my pinnacle. And I looked up pinnacle, and it's the highest place you can possibly go. You know, so God's taking you. He's up, sits in the high places, and he's bringing you there. And you shall excel in all that I have spoken over your lives. Now, do you really believe this? So you have to believe this tonight. You shall be the vessels of honor I have brought you forth to be, and you shall walk with surety of foot. There will be no place for stumbling in my kingdom. The enemy that has prevailed over your lives is already defeated, and there has been a new page turned in your books of life. I think that's totally awesome. There has been a new page turned in your books of life. No, God says, nowhere in my kingdom will you find the word defeated. You are the victorious ones, and you will climb to the very heights of my glory, and you will turn this nation upside down with my gospel of peace and grace. I thought somehow Peter used the word shall in the first paragraph. In this paragraph, he's making a statement, you will. Nowhere in my kingdom will you find the word defeated. You are the victorious ones, and you will climb to the very heights of my glory, and you will turn this nation upside down with my gospel of peace and grace. You will overtake the horsemen, and you will run this race with a very sure foot. You will never look back, and you will never wonder what if ever again. For you have made up your mind to run with the footmen and win this race at all costs. Sad to say, there's some of you sitting in here tonight that you haven't made up your mind to do that yet. You don't have the joy of the Lord the way you need to have the joy of the Lord in order to finish this race. And God's really, you know, asking you and to please look at him with new eyes of understanding. And to receive really what he has done to you and for you. You know, you get into the house of God, and I'm just hearing God say, you get so distracted by your mind that you don't really pick up the fullness of what I'm trying to do in your lives. We're going to read that paragraph all over again on what you really get in your spirit. Nowhere in my kingdom will you find the word defeated. And see, some of you are sitting here like you're defeated. You are the victorious ones, and you will climb the very heights of my glory, and you will turn this nation upside down with my gospel of peace and grace. You will overtake the horsemen, and you will turn this race will run this race with a very sure foot. You will never look back, and you will never wonder what if ever again, for you have made up your mind to run with the footmen and win the race at all costs. Now, maybe you have to become more intimate with Jesus. I don't know, but there's something between you and the true walk that God would have you to do. And you need to really check your spirit. God, what is there that's still hindering me from doing the things that you called me for to do? We really have to search God's heart and find out what's going on with our life. If the shoe fits, put it on. All right, I didn't say everybody, did I? I said some. So Jeremiah 12, we're going to read about the footmen now. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? So right here in Jeremiah chapter 12, we see Jeremiah complaining to God about the evil ones prospering. So Jeremiah 12:1-4 says, righteous are you, O Lord. He was talking to God. He's upset. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither for the evil of those who dwell in it? The beast and the birds are swept away because they said he will not see our latter end. So that was Jeremiah complaining to God. He's upset. And God answered Jeremiah in verse 12:5. We just read that. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? In other words, he said, Jeremiah, what, you're getting all upset with these people. What's going to happen later on? And Jeremiah 12:11 said, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. So he's saying to Jeremiah, quit your complaining, Jeremiah. I'm taking care of everything. And there's a lot of Jeremiahs sitting in here tonight. Amen. And Jeremiah 12:3 said, yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Then drag them off like sheep to be slaughtered and butchered, set them apart for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah wanted his enemies killed. Isn't that what it says? Why did he pray this? Well, these men were trying to kill Jeremiah. And as we read on, we get a sense that Jeremiah has had enough. This is where we're at right now, all right? Every one of us know that. Through the trials and hardness of life, we have wondered how much more can we take. Instead of encouraging Jeremiah, God had a word of rebuke for him. And he said, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? Come on. This spoke to me like a skyrocket. Amen. Now the footmen were trained army guys. They run swift and they run strong. They are hard to fight against. Fighting against them in hand-to-hand battle can wear you out. We all know that. We've been there. Probably some of us still are. Provoking you to leave the fight and surrender. They just want you to throw your hands up and walk away. But God asked Jeremiah, if you can't handle this, how can I take you to another level? See that? If you can't handle this, how can I take you to another level? How can I get you in position to do and deal with greater things to contend with? That means to contend with horses. Open up your eyes a little bit here and see what you just read. If you think trying to outrun a footman was bad, Try to outrun a horse. Try to fight one mounted high on a horse. That would be really hard. That horse running really fast, that man up, that horse swinging his sword at you, and you're trying to get him. All right, so at this point, that's when you know life and limb are at stake. That is when you are really in the thick of the fight. We're in the thick of the fight right now because the enemy is trying to take us off course. And we're saying, God, why aren't you protecting me? God, why aren't you stopping all this mess? I thought I was your child, and I thought I was in the victory circle, but still I have to fight. God told us we were going to have to, I'm here to say, contend until the end. And so we have to contend. We have had many trials to contend with, and as hard as it seemed at times, God was using them to strengthen us to be able to take on more. He has been training us to contend with horses and to be able to survive the swelling of the Jordan. He wants to take us to another level, to be in a position to do more for him and his kingdom. Our job all along was not to give up, and that's what he told us, he's been telling us for years. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't give up. Keep going. He's been encouraging us to do this for years now. God is with us through it all. Even when it feels like that we are pressed out of measure above strength, this is what Paul said, we still have God on the throne who is able to deliver us. And that's why he keeps saying, I have not fallen off my throne. I'm still on my throne. I'm still fighting your battles for you. And Jude 3 tells us, Beloved, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude said, you were about ready to lose your faith, and I had to write you a letter and tell you not to lose faith. God's writing us a letter tonight, and he's saying, don't lose faith. Keep on going, because I don't know about you, but the battle seems, when you think, okay, God says, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And God said, I stand as the victorious one in the victory circle, and the enemy's defeated, and I'm the victorious one, and all hell is raging around about you, right? And you're wondering, what is going on? Well, that's the battles you're going to have to fight. Jesus fought the battle until he died, right? Read about Jesus. He constantly had to go to the Father praying and interceding in order to make it through to the end. Now, nobody's downplaying how hard life can be sometimes, but the exhortation is to not give up. And, you know, I wrote that because the other day I kept saying, it is hard to be a Christian. It is hard to walk with God. It is not an easy walk. Unless you're fully, totally, completely committed to God, the enemy's going to have an inroad into your life all the time. All the time. And it blows my mind about how people want to stay in sin and be faithless and expect God to perform miracles in their life. It doesn't work that way. That's not. Somebody asked me tonight, why isn't God moving? Well, why aren't you in church? Why aren't you, you know, doing the things you know you're supposed to be doing? That's why God's not moving. You're not moving. He's not moving. You've tied his hands. He can't help you. And that goes for people in the body of Christ, too. You know, God's not moving because you're not moving. You're just sitting still and expecting him to do everything, and it doesn't work that way. Believe me, I know. All right, this is something worth fighting for, you know, the things that God's already taken us into. God will eventually deal with the footmen, you know, those people around about you that's harassing you, and those demons in your little mind that keep telling you things that, you know, aren't right. God will eventually deal with the footmen and the horses, the lions and the swelling Jordan, but we still have to hold on and keep fighting. And God keeps telling me I'm working behind the scene. And so what he's doing, he's really fighting your battles for you, and what you're supposed to do is keep your eyes upon God and his promises. God has been molding us to do the greater works for his kingdom. This is what this battle's all about. And this is why the glory dropped, because we needed that strength from that glory to contend with the footmen and even with the horses that we're running into. And we're headed for the greater works. And right now the enemy's saying, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I can still stop you because you haven't entered into it yet. But what are you going to do about it? You're going to keep fighting? Just to, like Jesus told him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written. And just keep right on walking. And Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. This is Paul. This was Paul talking this. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. You know, just because of these people that he's dealing with, these little sheep that are dumb. All right. Paul says, for when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever before. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. In other words, he's glad he wrote it, but yet he's not glad he wrote it. He didn't want to cause him any conflict, right? Paul said, yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So Paul said, I wrote you that letter, you know, because the Holy Spirit told him to, and he didn't really want to write the letter, but he had to write the letter because the people needed to know the truth so they could turn around and repent. All right? Now, God said, all of heaven is at your disposal. There is nothing the enemy throws at you that heaven cannot handle. Place every ounce of trust in me and move forward and run with horsemen. Every ounce of trust you have to give to God. You need to quit trusting in yourself. This is a time when the reaper shall overtake the plowman. So I looked up that, and Amos 9:3 said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. This is a time when the reapers shall overtake the plowman. And God said, this is a time when all things are coming into fruition. This is a time when all anxieties will be dispelled and complete joy will come upon my people, and they will be just like Job. And Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. So God said, this is a time when all things are coming into fruition. This is a time when all anxieties will be dispelled and complete joy will come upon my peoples, and they will be just like Job. Now, do you believe that or not? Yeah, that's God speaking, not me. And he's saying, now is it now, right now is the time. And he's been saying that for quite some time. Because I look back and I had words, and I said, now, N-O-W, great big, you know, is the time. And God's been telling us now is the time. But we must not have grasped hold of it, or God wouldn't be speaking this again. He only repeats himself when you haven't grasped it the first time around. All right, grasp it tonight. And then God says, the husbandman longs for his harvest to be brought in. The harvest is overly ripe, and it will die on the vine if not harvested at just the right time. And I looked up, husbandman is one whose business is to cultivate the ground. It was one of the first occupations and was esteemed most honorable. So the husbandman is the one who cultivated the ground. You put in that seed, and he's watched the harvest come forth, and that husbandman is who? It's Jesus, right? He's watched the harvest come forth, and now he said, it needs to be harvested right now, or it's going to die. Then God said, this is the time of fulfillment of all things. This is a time for my children to rise and shine. This is a time when I will come to visit my children as I did with the Israelite children at the tent of meetings. How many times has God told us he wants to visit us? All right, the phrase tent of meeting is used in the Old Testament, specifically in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, as a name of a place where God would meet with his people, Israel. Usually the tent of meeting was used as another name for the tabernacle of Moses. In other words, God wants to tabernacle with us. He wants to personally come and visit us individually. He wants to speak to us. He wants to show us wondrous things that are to occur across this land. He wants to show, this is what I'm hearing him say. He wants to show you yourself. He wants to show you who you really are and where you're really at. All right, so don't be afraid. If the only reason why you'd be afraid for God to come and tabernacle with you is because you're not where you should be, and you don't want God to show you where you're not at, right? Come on. And God went on to say, my children will give testimony of their great visitations with me. I think that's wonderful. They will encourage and uplift those around about them with their testimonies, for this is a time of great visitations that I have spoken of in the past. God wants to visit with you guys. You know, I just wished that whenever Alan was riding down the road in his motorcycle, that God would appear in front of him and he wouldn't know what to do, screech on his brakes and probably fly right into his arms, right? Then he would come in here shouting and screaming, guess what, guess what, guess what? Jesus appeared to me when I was on my motorcycle. Are you hearing that? Or when somebody's sitting here in the church writing their little love letters or whatever they're writing down, and all of a sudden an angel appears and said, what do you think you're doing? You're in the house of God. They would pass out their seat, right? All right, when God visits, supernatural breakthroughs occur. Prophetic words are fulfilled, seasons are shifted, and new things are brought to birth. Jesus gets all the glory. When God visits, supernatural breakthroughs occur. I don't know about you, but I'd say, God, come and visit me anytime you want. I don't care if I'm on the toilet, in the shower. I don't care if I'm scrubbing the floor. I don't care if I'm sleeping. Wake me up, but I want you to come and visit me. I want to go. I don't even care if I go to heaven. I just want you to visit me. Amen? Come on. And I'm hearing God say great visitations are coming all across this land, but not everybody that wants them is ready to receive them. All right. So if you really want to, make sure you're ready to receive them. So when God visits, supernatural breakthroughs occur, prophetic words are fulfilled, seasons are shifted, and new things are brought to birth. Jesus gets the glory. And God said these great visitations will occur through an overdose of the Holy Ghost. I don't like to use the word ghost, but that's what God said. He said, when these great visitations occur, it'll be through an overdose of the Holy Ghost. And Jeremiah 29:10 said, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Verse 12 says, that we just read, that then you will call me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, when God spoke these words to Judah, he was saying, in effect, when the Kairos time comes for me to deliver you, you will seek me, and I will answer and deliver you. Our Kairos time has come, and God is listening for our voices, asking him to deliver us. Now, you see, God gives me this stuff, and I have to go do something. Well, I had to go clean up a mess that baby made in the bathroom, and I was down the floor scrubbing the floor, and I was crying out to God, I want you to come visit me right now. I want every promise fulfilled, every prophetic word that's been spoken, I want it fulfilled right now. I was really carrying on with God, and the baby came, and he said, who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to God. I want the visitation right now. This is my time. I want it. I'm serious with God, and he knows I'm serious. I want that great visitation. I want the healings he's talking about. I want my kids saved. Everything he's ever promised me, I want it. If it's now, I want it right now. And I believe it's right now. Because he said back here that the harvest was dying on the vine. Didn't that what he said? Somebody comes here, you know, when they can, called me, it's another pastor, and said, what we need to do is go out there in the highways and the byways and preach the gospel out there and quit being content inside of four walls. I said, that's right. And they said, and I've been telling people that too, and they don't believe that. These pastors up here in my area, they think you just everybody come and sit inside the church and stay there and do absolutely nothing. She was on fire. And she said, it's not right. I'm so glad you're there with your swinging door to teach us how to go out and really minister and how to really get people saved. And she was going on and on and on. But everything she said was right. You know, she has a fire underneath her now, and she's not content to sit still. Has God built a fire under each one of you tonight? That you're not content to sit still? That you want to preach the word wherever you go? That you want to tell the people about Jesus? Come on. And she's an Indian, too. She got her little woo, 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 woo thing going, you know, dancing her dance. Come on. I think we all need to get our woo, woo, woo thing going. Every now and then, you know, my father's mother was full-blooded Indian, and every now and then, I think I've a little bit Indian, me, but every now and then, I get on the war path, and my kids, all right, Indian, settle down, settle down. But, you know, I'm not going to settle down with God, because he has too much he needs done. Come on. And I don't know about you, but I'm still not content in the state we're in. I loved what God did in our week of miracles service, but I'm still not content, because there's a whole lot more that he wants to do. I want to step into that greater works. I want everybody comes through that door. I want them to be hit by the Holy Ghost, overflow. And I want them totally and completely changed. Come on. All right, so I said, our Kairos time has come. Then Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who sends the thunderstorms. He gives showers of rain to all people and plants of the field to everyone. Well, I want to hear the thunder, I want to hear the lightning, and I want to see the greater works. I hope I can set a fire under you guys, and you will want the same thing too, and you're just so dumb and tired of business sitting and not seeing anything happen that you want to set the world on fire. The song service was good tonight, but it didn't move me one inch. It was good. It really was a good song service, but God wants so much more out of us. See, we're still not at a place where we can really enter into this type of worship yet. There's still something abiding, and this is what I'm hearing God, something abiding deep underneath you that's still hindering you from really entering into this type of worship. I heard a song coming down the road, and it set me on fire. It was a warring song. It wasn't, a intimate song. You know, we can sing intimate songs and not do anything except maybe move Grace and Aaron, but it won't move anybody else because they're not there yet. I mean, I'm intimate with God, but I'll tell you one time, I know when we have to do warfare too. And I was on fire when I came in because that song really ministered to me and set me on fire. We're too content with the sluggish things. We have to really, really, really desire to be a warrior and really, really, really desire to go out to war. Are you listening here tonight? All right. God said, I am not splintered. I had to look up what that meant. I am totally connected to my body. I am here and I am encompassed all around about each and every one of you. Fear no evil, for I am with you at all times. So I looked up splintered, the definition. It's a small, thin, sharp piece of wood, bone, or the like, split or broken off from the main body. So that's the part we want. It's broken off in the part of the main body. And God said, I'm not splintered. I'm totally connected to my body. Now, I don't want to upset you, Aaron, please. I'm just doing what God's telling me to do. God is with us. He's for us. He's not against us. And unless you have that in your spirit, man, you're not going to be out there and be able to go out there and convince the world of that. Unless you have that fire underneath you, you're not going to convince anybody of anything. It's not. I always start on Sunday's message, and that'll help you with Sunday's message. All right? So God said, walk in great expectations at all times. Come on. Never for one moment believe that I am not for you in all that I called you forth to do. God's been waking me up every morning now at 5 instead of 4. Well, I guess it's called the time change. I don't know. And so this morning I said, God, he said, get up. I really didn't feel like getting up this morning. And he said you were expecting. So here I am. I want to talk to you. Get up. See? God, I'm expecting you to move at any, I don't care when it is. You can move anytime you want to move. You can talk to me anytime you want to talk. It's 5 o'clock. Get up. See that? And I grumble. And I'm not the only one that does that. Amen? Come on. All right, God said, walk in great expectations at all times. Never for one moment believe that I am not for you in all that I called you for to do. The path before you is bright with excitement and expectation. See, and I know that, and that's why I'm not content. Because I know that I haven't entered into the fullness of what God's trying to get us to do. I'm talking about me. I don't know where you're at. I'm talking about me, all right? God said, always expect the impossible. Anyone can expect the normal. I want my children to expect the impossible. Come on. God said, when you speak to the mountain, it will move if you can expect the impossible. A lot of people say, well, I believe, mountain move. You're not expecting the impossible. When you have kids on drugs, you know, killing yourself. Oh, look what they're doing to themselves. You're not expecting the impossible. You're not expecting the fire of God to come down and smack them on the head and rip all that junk out of them. You're content. In fact, oh, well, now they've been like that for years. I guess they're going to stay like that for some more years. And we can't think like that about anything anymore. God said, my glory will radiate off of you, and it will touch many nations far and wide. You are the handful that I have chosen, are you listening, to send forth into the gross darkness and compel them to come into the light. And I said, God, really? That little motley crew I have in there, are they really the handful that you've chosen? So he said, my glory will radiate off of you, and it will touch many nations far and wide. You are the handful that I have chosen to send forth into the gross darkness and compel them to come into the light. And God told me I'm going to get it all down to a handful. Then that handful are the ones I'm going to use to bring my glory to the world. And God said, when I send you forth, you are always fully equipped. You always hear my voice and obey my voice. You are never void of the presence of my Holy Spirit. He is always there to lead, guide, and direct each and every footstep. Read that again. I want you to get that in your spirit, man. When I send you forth, you are always fully equipped. You always hear my voice and obey my voice. You are never void of the presence of my Holy Spirit. He is always there to lead, guide, and direct each and every footstep. Look at John 15:26. But when the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, this is Jesus speaking, that is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. He will testify and bear witness about me, but you will testify also and be my witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. Have you had God with Jesus with you? Is he still with you? Is he still the most important thing in your life? Are you still allowing him to lead, guide, and direct you? Or are you allowing your little pea brain that's faithless tell you what's going to happen? How many of you have to tell your brain, shut up, turn off? I only want to hear what God says. I only want to remember what God said. I don't want to know what you're saying because right now you're stupid. My brain does get stupid at times. That's it yours? It's not always a bright, shining light. It just isn't. It gets really dim at times. I think somebody comes by and pulls a string and turns it totally off. I'm serious. Our mind's not always the brightest thing in the world. Okay, then God said, I am sending each of you forth this night, not tomorrow night, not Sunday night, but this night, Wednesday, November the 5th, is it? November the 6th. I am sending each of you forth this night fully equipped to take on this war that looms before you between right and wrong. Now, before he sends you forth this night, are you really ready to go? And God said, are you really comprehending all that I've been speaking to you, all those things that's been accumulating, that I've been accumulating in each one of you? Do you really understand it? Are you walking in the fullness and the magnificence of it? That's a bunch of big words, wasn't it? Come on. This war that is going to conquer the evil in this land. You will see America bow their knees to me once again, and you will see multitudes come back to the cross, for this is the hour of their prodigals returning home. You know, Aaron and I sat back and talked about how wonderful the praise and worship was and how wonderful the songs were, and we read the things that Grace said, and I come up and he said, look at me, he said, you just said what? His eyes popped right on wide open. Well, you know, back there on me and up here, it's God speaking. So, you know, we just let God say what he wants to say. But are you really ready for that higher realm of glory that God wants to take you into? Tonight, he said, I am sending each of you forth this night fully equipped to take on this war that looms before you between right and wrong. Everything you read nowadays, if you're reading anything about what the prophets are saying, is holiness, and righteousness. Everything. Everybody's gotten the word now out. Now they're getting the word out there. You know, I want you to be very careful. God has been telling us that false prophets are on the scene and false ministers, and there's a whole lot out there going on that they're trying to say that, you know, walking in the Spirit is not right and, you know, deliverance is not right, and they're really magnifying it really bad right now. So if you are going to be swayed by that kind of stuff, then you're not fully equipped to go forth this night. God's saying you have to bind up the enemy of your soul, and you have to welcome the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness and allow me to project you into the darkness. You, according to God tonight, are the warrior that he's sending you for to conquer the evil. Now, are you? If you're ready, then God wants you at the altar, because he's going to give you a special touch that whenever you leave here tonight, you're going to know that you know that you are that true warrior, and you're not going to fear anything ever again. Because you know that God has your battles. He knows the battle plan. We don't. And you're going to know that no matter what goes on around about you, that God is still in control. And when I give you the message Sunday, it'll help you more. But the altar's open.